The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
Hi, I'm Kim Sharoff from Long Beach, New York, and welcome to the Mickey Miles Podcast.
This is the Mickey Miles Podcast. From 5K fun runs to full marathons, this is the podcast that helps you learn everything you need to know about running Disney races. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 319 of the Mickey Miles Podcast. My name is Mike Scopa from WDW Today, and with me on the show, as always, is Michelle Scribner-McLean. Hello, Michelle.
Hello, Michael. How are you?
Okay. Middle of October.
Yeah.
It's getting to be a little bit nippy now when we go out for our runs New Hampshire.
Yeah, and we actually had, to make a difficult decision to skip a race this weekend. It was tough.
You know, and
for different reasons.
Yeah, I think maybe take a minute to talk about it. Mm. One of the things, we both ran the New Hampshire Half Marathon last week in Bristol with some of our friends. And about a day or two afterwards, we had some,
knee issues.
And
I wouldn't say it's serious. A lot of the run was on a road, so it was on an incline. And my knee just... was very, very sore, and it wasn't my normal IT band knee. And I was kind of limping around, and, you know, there's only a week between these half marathons. So I started to think about what is more important to me, getting through the BAA half or being able to do Wine and Dine.
Because if you do Wine and Dine, you still have 2 months to recover from
January. Yeah, So I decided at that point, too, that I was not going to do the race, that I needed to make sure that my knee was okay.
So, and it's good
and
to say that.
And you had a different reason.
Well, you know, the thing is that we signed up for the BAA medley, which was a 5K, 10K, and half, and we had pretty bad luck because I know that I was a little under the weather for the 5K, so I didn't do the 5K.
Oh, you didn't do the 5K?
No, remember,
okay, yeah.
So you did it with a couple of our friends, and then we were going to do the 10K, and a lot of people decided not to do that because that was like a torrential downpour.
Yeah.
A lot of people did not do that one. And for this one, they changed so much in the last several weeks regarding the logistics for this BAA half marathon. Getting to the start was an issue. Shuttles were an issue. They were cleaning up. They were going to clean up the finish within like 2.5 hours after the start. And if you're in the mid-pack, you're not even starting for about 15, 20 minutes. You know, so it just didn't seem that good of a deal. And then the thing with your knee, so we decided to, you know, to not do it, and we would have had to drive down to Boston to do it too.
Yeah, so it's not too far away.
Yeah, but still, I think the purpose here is that if things aren't what you think
100%,
they should be, you should.
I want to give a special shout out to a whole bunch of our friends who did that race. Sandy Began was sort of on the fence, I know, and she ended up getting the special medal for running all three races. And I know Kristen Jensen and Steve Cantafio and his wife Bethany also did it. But I really want to dedicate my shout outs to people who did a lot of firsts this weekend. So Kristen Jensen, Casey Kinnan, Larry Wiener, and Chad Wierick all did their first marathons this past weekend. Different places. Some of them were Chicago. Some of them were other places. Kara Schroeder did her first half marathon. And, you know, there's nothing like your first. Your first long distance race. You know, every time you finish one of those, it's exciting and fun. But special shout out to those people, and I hope they continue.
It doesn't matter if it's your first 5K, 10K.
Nope.
Half or full, the first time is a big, big deal.
Right. So, big shout out. So, what are we doing today? What are the plans?
We're going to attack the questions. We're getting a little bit more questions than normally because it's that time of year where a lot of people are ramping up for their special race, and there's a lot of interest and there's a lot of questions. So, we're going to try to field as many as we can.
Are we ready to start?
And as always, ladies first.
Oh, I have one more shout out.
You do?
Yeah, Sean Astin.
Oh, Sean.
Yeah, he did his first Ironman.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. 15 hours and change.
And before it started, they were all yelling Rudy, Rudy, Rudy.
No, when he ended.
Oh, when he ended,
crossed
they were
yelling.
It.
Yeah, oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. So. Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. So awesome. Hopefully we'll have him on the show to talk about it. All right. You ready?
Go.
Fasten your seatbelt. The first one's by Juan Montoya. He says, "Hi, Mike and Michelle. First of all, I really enjoy listening to the podcast." Why, thank you, Juan. "I have an hour commute to work every day, and I just wish you guys would have a daily show." Ha! We do all we can to get the two a week we do out. "Thanks for all the tips and information on Disney runs and running in general. I've been running for about a year, and my first real race was the 5K Haunted Trail Run at Disney for the Tower of Terror race weekend." What's that, Mike?
Yeah, what is that?
"I had a blast. I had so much fun. I made it a goal to do the Dopey Challenge in 2016. I've done a few more races since, including a half marathon a few weeks ago in the Bird in Hand, Pennsylvania. My question comes to training and getting prepared. I've been using the Jeff Galloway training plan from the Run Disney website. I'm also adopting a 9-to-1 run-walk ratio to help me achieve a 2-hour half marathon. My question's geared to what to wear during the training. I live in Canada, Cornwall, Ontario, to be more precise. I'm a bit concerned with the run in later November and December in freezing weather and possible snow, wind, and ice. My running routes are country roads. Since both of you live in the northern U.S., we seem to have very similar weather. I was wondering, how do you approach the weather changes while training for this event?" So he has another question, but let's tackle that one first, Mike. We actually have done a show on running in cold weather. I don't know which show it was, but at least one we've done. So one, the first thing would be to check out that. But Mike, what are maybe your top 3 or 4 tips for somebody running in colder weather?
When you're running in colder weather, the advice is to try to dress in layers so that while you're running, if it's possible and you get to be a little bit warmer than you thought, you can strip off a layer. You want to be warm at all times. You want to be safe too. One of the things we've always talked about, Michelle, is that not necessarily the cold, and everybody has a certain threshold for cold. It's the footing that I'm always concerned about. As long as there's no ice, as long as there's no snow on the ground, I'm going to be out there. Probably for me, I can handle up to 20 degrees above zero. And I'm sure there are some that can handle lower, and there are some that just can handle higher. But I think one that you have to play it by ear and just make sure that you're comfortable. Make sure that you keep your hands warm. I think that that's an important thing that a lot of people forget. And you should have a good pair of running gloves. Also, you should think about running with a hat, keeping that heat in. Very, very important. I think that those are two things that I think about, Michelle. What about you?
Okay. So, you know, it's really interesting, Mike. When I go out to run with you, I'm much more of a cold weather wimp. And I strip the layers right off. And you're always saying to me, oh, you know, you wear all these layers and then they're off in 5 minutes. And that's definitely the case. I have run preparing for the Dopey in 18-degree weather, and that I would not do that again. That's too cold for me. Honestly, anything under 40 and I'm unhappy. But I agree with Mike, wear layers. I think if I was going out for a long run, I would do as I remember that 18, it was 18 miles and 18 degrees. I would park in the middle and go out and back a mile or two, and then strip off the things that you don't want. You can get some cheap mittens at Target or cheap gloves in Target, and a hat, very, very important. But also the hand warmers, which I would also get at Target, those little things that you can open up and keep your hands warm. I've put them in my hands. I've put them on my head. I've put them inside my running clothes if it's really cold. And I think another thing is to make sure that you hydrate, because sometimes when it's colder, you can forget about that stuff. And what else do? Yak tracks. If you are running where it's cold and it, you know, icy, if there's been a snowstorm, I have things that you can that I can put on my sneakers if I want to. Yak tracks. There are lots of different versions of this, but I know some runners who simply get some screws at the hardware store and they screw them into the bottom of their sneakers to provide traction. So I would recommend going back and listening to that show. We had some buddies come on, and maybe we'll do another show about running in winter weather, but hopefully that helps you out, Juan. Let's see what your second question is. He says, my second question has to do with gear. What shoe, sock, jacket, hat, pants combination is best and what worked for you? So I assume he's talking about colder weather, Mike. So I think we talked about a little bit of those. I'll talk about me again. I'm very much a cold weather wimp, so I will wear more layers than Mike for sure. But I would wear a long sleeve, maybe a compression shirt on the bottom, another more loosely fitting. I think at one time I ran with like five layers on a loose fitting shirt, like a Disney running shirt, and then maybe a tighter fitting. Like a cold weather running shirt on top of that. And then on top of all that, I usually wear a wind resistant jacket, because a lot of times when I run, it's by water. It's by a river or by a pond and or up on a hill where there's a lot of wind. And for the bottom layer, I'll wear compression tights. And then on top of that, if it's really cold, I'll wear sweatpants on top of that. A hat, I wear ear warmers and then a hat on top of that. And socks, I wear wool socks, wool running socks. What are they called? I can't remember what they're called. But
steel wool?
Yeah, they're not steel wool. They're not steel wool. No, but, PhD socks. That's what they're called. But there are a lot of different types of socks. I got mine at L.L. Bean. Mike?
Okay, Juan, when it comes to cold weather gear, I'm all about the compression. So I would recommend compression socks if you can find them, compression sleeves on your calves.
Do you have compression socks?
Yeah, you can get compression socks.
No, do you
socks.
Have them?
No, I don't.
Oh, okay. You're just recommending them.
Compression tights. What's the one that I have, Michelle? C2X?
CW?
C2X or whatever.
Yeah, I'll look it up.
They're a compression shirt. I think that the compression helps the circulation, and the circulation, when best, is going to keep you warm and keep you warmed up. And the
CWX.
Mm. And the more circulation you have, the less likelihood you're going to have an issue. So you know, think about compression gear right off the bat. And then I might have two layers, maybe three at the most. I'm sort of a warm weather, warm-blooded animal. So like Michelle said, I don't really recall that much. Regarding shoes, this is something I usually do. It's right around Halloween that I'll buy a brand new pair of running shoes for races coming up, November, December, January, whatever. And what I do is I have a backup pair that I will use outside, especially if I think there's a lot of crud on the ground and I don't want to get my new shoes dirty. So I'll have a backup pair of shoes that I'll wear in the wintertime and run. One of the things I also don't do is I don't try to run as fast in the wintertime as I would normally do in the fall and spring. It's just not worth it in the cold. I just try to be steady and just keep the muscles moving. And then when it comes time to run a race, that's a different story. Jacket, hat, any hat will to me works for me. I know that Michelle, you wear a special kind of hat, right?
A special kind of hat?
Last week at the New Hampshire half.
No, I just had a Nike hat. It's kind of nice it was a woman's hat. It just had a place for my ponytail to come out of the back. But yeah. I don't think I had a special hat. But if I'm going to a race, I'll buy one at Target that I can throw away.
I know a lot there's been a lot in the past. I had friends who always wore material made out of Gore-Tex, I think it was called. Mm-hmm. They used to wear that for the winter. So it's one of those things, one where you have to do some testing to see what works best for you.
That's why I think going in the middle and going out and back, you can kind of add things. And
So
you want to get all that ready the night before a long run.
Yep.
It's a lot of work. It is a lot of work.
And Juan, if we ever meet, please don't say, My name is Juan Montoya. Who killed my father. Prepare to die.
I had a feeling that was going to be coming. Let's get to the second question. It's singing Jackie Cabrera.
Singing Jackie Cabrera, who says, "Hey, Mike and Michelle, question one. Does the Run Disney Corral placement system rely solely on past finish times, or does being a frequent RD runner also help your chances of moving up in corrals?" Michelle?
Jackie, I think it has nothing to do with your past times. They are asking you to provide for every single race a proof of finish time now. So you need to use your most recent race within the past 2 years, I believe. And you could use a Disney race if you wanted to, but it doesn't have to be a Disney race. But they are not looking, with 26,000 people, they're just going to, if you don't have a time, they're going to plop you in the last corral. So even if your time was not what you wanted it to be, I would definitely submit it to Run Disney because it might pop you up in a corral that's further up. What do you think, Mike?
Well, you have to provide the finish time and you have to provide the name of the race and everything.
And a link, too.
And a link, mm-hmm. So, you know, you can't lie. Mm-hmm. And then if you're like me, you forget. And I forgot this past week that there was a deadline for January, and I emailed them, and they said, "Oh, you're supposed to have it by the 8th, so I'm going to go in the last.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go in the last corral, probably, but that's
no,
fine.
But wasn't there a problem with your name? You
always
have a problem with your name.
Well, Disney is not known for being a very good IT company. So let's go on to Jackie's second question.
That's a good question, though.
So Jackie says, "Without the Walt Disney World Speedway, which course do you wish that the marathon would take? My wish is to add the miles elsewhere and also spend less time at ESPN." That's a good question, Michelle. Do you want to tackle it?
What would I like to do? If I had my druthers, I would love to spend more time maybe in the Magic Kingdom. I'm not sure how it would go, but to go through Adventureland would be really fun. To spend more time at Animal Kingdom, I'd like to do that. I actually don't mind ESPN, but it is a lot of miles. But I think adding to Magic Kingdom and Animal Kingdom, I think would be really, really fun. But I'm not sure. I really don't mind ESPN. It's kind of interesting, but it is a long, you know, it's about 3 miles worth of running. What do you think, Mike?
It's a good question. I think that we have pretty much seen the maximum amount of distance that they will give up in the Magic Kingdom. They want everybody out really fast, like by nine. Mm-hmm. I think that when it comes to the theme parks, they have come up with a lot of alternatives involving backstage routes, mm-hmm. but you can only do so much with that. I think that it's going to be a necessity to continue to have the marathon with a portion of it going up to ESPN because they need to chew up some miles.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Along the line of maybe 10K's worth, maybe 6-7 miles. So I think it's going to continue. Maybe
one of the things I like about ESPN, not to interrupt, but I am interrupting, is the bathrooms there, but also that you're running. It's a very short time, but you're running on a real track.
Yeah.
So my knees
were
saying, "Yay, I like this." It was not very. It was only one lap around the track, but it was a good change up.
I think anywhere where they can have the course be as wide as possible, I think is good. I think that when it gets bunched up, it gets really on everyone's mind, and you start doing zigzags and stuff. So that would be number one in my book. All right. So she has a suggestion. She says some of our teammates were talking about a triathlon. And I was surprised to find that Disney hosted several of these. The athletes would swim in Seven Seas or Bay Lake.
Mm-hmm.
Could you guys do a podcast? Could do a show about the about defunct Disney races?
I think that's a good idea.
Well, we could. There are about 4 or 5 that I can think of. I know, Michelle, that you've done one of them with me.
Mm-hmm.
I've done several that are no longer around. We could talk about them
and how Robert, they've evolved. Robert Sparks, our favorite astronomer, has done a lot of the older Run Disney events, too, and I wanted to have him come on the show. But I've mentioned it on the show before. I did meet some people who had, I think it was a sprint triathlon that they did swimming in the Seven Seas Lagoon. And I think it was just when I first started Run Disney events, and I met some guy. I was actually at Captain Cook's at the Polynesian. I said, "How was it?" And he said, "To be honest, swimming in that lagoon was one of the most disgusting things I ever did." So yeah. I wasn't thinking that I would run out and want to do it myself.
It didn't last long.
No, it didn't. It didn't. But bleh, yuck. But I like the idea. We will keep it on the back burner and put some ideas together. Like it, Jackie. Thank you.
She says, "Thanks for your time, and I can't wait for the next hangout."
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when is our next hangout?
October 16th, which is coming up.
So for our premium patrons, we're going to have a hangout on October 16th at 8 o'clock.
Yep.
Yeah. Awesome. So are we ready for the next one?
Read away.
Jeff Jensen says, "Hi, Michelle and Mike. I really enjoy the podcast and appreciate all of the time and effort you both put into each episode." Thank you, Jeff. "I subscribe to the podcast through iTunes, and as a listener from the beginning, I've listened to every episode. Unfortunately, I recently had a hard drive crash and lost all of the Mickey Miles episodes, but I'm in the process of downloading all of the episodes again, but I have unable to find the first 10 episodes anywhere. I've checked a few of your sites listed on Podbean, but episode 7 was the only episode I could find from the first 10 episodes." Mike?
Well, Jeff, guess what? About 3 months after we started doing the podcast, which was in September, I believe, of 2012.
No, not that long ago. We just had our third anniversary, right? Oh, I guess you're right.
Yeah.
That is 2012. Sorry.
Guess what? I had a hard drive crash too. So the backup for those, and I don't know if I was not using Time Machine at that time. So I lost them too. So they are lost forever.
Are
unfortunately.
They? I think I might have them.
If you have them, we'll repost them. But
we're gonna try and see if we can find them for you, Jeff. So that's episodes 1 through 6 and 8 through 10. We'll give it a shot. Stay tuned.
Okay. Next question comes from Megan Corcoran, who says, "I'll be participating in the Avengers Half Marathon in November. This will be my second Run Disney event, but first at Disneyland. I've heard great things about the West Coast races, except for the expos, specifically getting into the official merchandise area.
Mm-hmm.
In your experience, when is the best time to go? We are arriving late Thursday night, so we are able to go on Friday or Saturday. Is it best to go right when it opens on Friday, wait until the evening, or go sometime on Saturday? I'd think Saturday would be less crowded since the Infinity Gauntlet Challenge begins that morning. But if their merchandise sells out like Princess's does, I guess I'm willing to deal with a longer potential wait on Friday. Thanks for your help, and love listening to the podcast during my long runs." All right, Michelle, what do you
think? Did Megan say she actually wants merchandise? If she wants race-specific merchandise, you know, Thursday is traditionally the time to go. Saturday would be awesome, but I don't know that you're going to get exactly, you're not going to get the full choices as you would if you went on Thursday, usually when the expos open. The line is very long. People have heard upwards of 2 hours sometimes, but then we've heard our friends Lee and Laura say that they've gone on Friday or Saturday and waltz right in. So if you're going just to get your bib and maybe do a little browsing in the expo, Friday or Saturday is perfectly okay. If you have your heart set on the I did it thing for Avengers, I did it shirt or I did it whatever, I would be worried about going on Friday or Saturday myself. What do you think, Mike?
Well, when I think of the expos, especially when I think of the West Coast expos, I think, okay, if I want to see some friends, I'll go in the morning. If I want to really browse around, I'll go in the afternoon.
Mm.
We've experienced that. So the question, of course, is running the risk of them running out of merchandise if you go late. So depends upon the merchandise.
Yep. So, Megan, that's what I think. I think my hope is that at some point they start to put the stuff up online ahead of time. I know that, you know, some companies do that. You can go pick up your merchandise right at the expo. But so far, Run Disney hasn't done that. You know, they have a lot of cash registers open and a lot of people herding you through the different lines. I think they're better prepared for it now. But I've heard a lot of people say, you know, I really wanted that shirt or other merchandise, and they haven't been able to get it. All right, next question's from Julie Yen. She says, I'm registered for the Star Wars 10K, independent from a charity, but I decided I would like to run the challenge. The charity for which I want to run only has half bibs left, so I really don't mind running them separately, but I would be sad not to get a challenge medal. I remember some of your guests saying that they don't care about their medals. I was wondering if one of those people would be willing to give me their challenge medal if I proved to them I had completed both races. I would use screenshots of the race results from the from Disney's page. Thoughts? Mike?
Well, you know,
it never hurts to ask.
It never hurts to ask. And Julie, you just asked. So if there's anybody out there who would be willing, I'm sure Julie would be very appreciative. I think, Julie, one of the I don't know if this is the Dark Side one in Walt Disney World or the one in Disneyland. I think there will be more people doing the one in Disney World than Disneyland, but it is an inaugural. So that makes it, Julie, a little bit more difficult for anyone to part with an inaugural medal. But you never know, so we'll put it out there. And if any of you would like, you know, please contact Julie through us or whatever. Michelle?
Well, I think, Julie, I don't want to be the bearer of bad news, so maybe somebody would say yes. But I think if somebody is specifically going on and signing for the challenge, signing up for the challenge, there's a reason that they're doing that. They won the they want the challenge medal. So especially with an inaugural race, I think that sometimes people don't mind if they're doing a 5K or a one-off type of thing, or they want to give their medals to charity. But we can try. So if you're willing to give up your medal to Julie, you can email us at questions@mickeymilespodcast.com, and we'll give you Julie's contact information.
Our last question comes from Smiley Soul. And Smiley says, Hi, Mickey Milers. Been listening since episode one, but first time ever, I have sent in a question. What is happening to Disneyland Paris registration? Not this week. So Smiley sent the question on the 5th of October, which was last week. Mm-hmm. And we were supposed to have some registration going on the 6th, but it never happened. Mm-hmm. Smiley goes on to say, not this week, and what do they mean by booking? I have family there. I just want to get a race bib, not a whole vacation package. Is it possible? Thanks for your help. Michelle, do you want to go or do you want me to go?
Oh, I'll start it. But I know, Smiley, that I read people posting online who said that they had taken the day off because that was the announced date, and they were not very happy. As far as we understand, it's been very slow going. We've been in touch constantly with Becky Mankin from MEI Travel, who's going to be, one of the providers, hopefully. She's gotten very little information, too. So my understanding is that the packages are going to go first, and then rolling out later on will be bibs alone. I'm very, very curious to see how many people are going to sign up for this one. I hear people who say I'm definitely going to do it, but I don't hear as many as with some of these other races. And this may actually end up being a dud. And one of the things that was curious this week is Run Disney came out with their brand new schedule for next year. And guess which race wasn't on there, Mike?
Well, they only went up to May, right?
It was for all of next year.
Oh, it was all of next year.
Yeah, so.
I didn't see Avengers or Disneyland Half Marathon because it only went up to May.
Oh, okay. What do you think?
First off, I want to give a shout out to Becky because I have kept in touch with a lot of different areas, and I have found out that there are some travel providers who are making noise about, you can sign up, give us some money, and we'll take care of it, whatever. But to Becky's credit, she's being very careful. She's very loyal to her clients as we are to her. And Becky wants to make sure that she understands everything before she lets anyone know of what is available for travel packages. I know it's been very frustrating for her trying to find out information. Regarding why it was delayed, we don't have any idea. The packages, as far as I understand, will involve race registration, resort room, and possibly the
park admission.
I don't want to speculate as to how much the package will cost. Now, regarding what we think is going to happen, I have heard, again, it's all speculation, but from different areas, this is not, I don't want to get Becky in the middle of this because I have not heard this from any MEI travel agents. I've heard it from outside MEI and Mouse Fan Travel. I've heard that there will be an announcement, and it would have happened a few days ago because we are recording this on the Sunday before the Tuesday that we expect registration to begin. And from what I understand, I think you have to put down a certain amount now, and you have to pay it in full in November. That's what I've heard. I've also heard that bibs alone will be available right around the middle of January, sometime between the 12th and the 15th. Mm. Again, all speculation. I hesitate to say this because I know that, you know, people will quote us and will say, well, they said this, they said that. All I'm saying is that I've heard different rumors here and there, nothing official from Run Dizzy and definitely nothing from our sponsors. So take that with a grain of salt, and hopefully that you will be able to get your bib sometime in January. I've also heard, Michelle, that there's a limit to the number of spots open in this race.
Well, so I'm sure there
maybe
is.
Maybe around 15,000.
So. Wow. It'll be interesting, that's for sure.
So, Michelle, before we sign off with our question show, we just want to remind everyone that we are approximately 1 month away, if not less, from the Wine and Dine Race Weekend in Walt Disney World. Looking forward to that. And we're also looking forward to meeting a lot of you at our Wine and Dine dessert party, which will be held that Sunday night at 8 o'clock. Well, not open at 8 o'clock. That Sunday night, November 8th, it will be held in Epcot. And we will all be watching Illuminations. And Michelle, have we closed registration on that?
Not quite yet. I think it'll be a week before the race.
Yeah.
So we'll wait until a week out.
And we will put a link on in our show notes to help you find your way to how you register for that. So for Michelle Scribner-McLean, this is Mike Scopa saying we'll see you on the road.
The Mickey Miles podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
Thank you for joining us on today's episode of the Mickey Miles podcast. We hope you enjoyed listening. If you would like to support the Mickey Miles podcast, please go to mickeymiles.podbean.com and click the green Become a Patron button in the upper right-hand corner of the menu bar. We thank you for your support. Don't forget, our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/MickeyMilesPodcast. You can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/MickeyMilesPod. Don't forget, if you have any questions, you can send them to questions@MickeyMilesPodcast.com. We'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles Podcast, this is Rick Gray saying thanks for listening and all your support. And until next time, we'll see you on the road.